The Final Unfinished Voyage of Jack Aubrey by Patrick O'Brien. Read by Robert Hardy. Stephen Maturin squared up to his writing desk once more. He'd been called away to attend to one of the ship's boys who, in the lightness of his heart, had contrived to stun himself in the foretop by taking the maul from its place, tossing it to a considerable height, and so misjudging the revolutions as it fell that the massive head struck him down, speechless and unnaturally pale. Stephen dressed the wound, such as it was, more bruised than blood and no bone broken, and said to his loblolly boy, "Tell Dr. Jacob when he comes back that this boy is to have no grog for the next 3 days, and tomorrow he may keep his hammock." Dr. Jacob, the surgeon's mate, was away visiting friends aboard the frigate's tender, the rapid and windwardly Chesapeake schooner Ringle, and Stephen glanced in her direction fine on the starboard bow before going down to the cabin that he shared with Captain Aubrey. He'd already written, "My dear Christine," before he was called away, and he dated the letter, "Surprise at sea in Magellan's Strait." He had meant to tell her of the extraordinary beauty of the weather and of the strait, generally so forbidding. He should certainly have spoken of the favourable wind that had allowed them to keep topgallant sails abroad ever since the morning watch. Above all, he should have dwelt upon the happiness that filled the ship. Homeward bound after a long and most uncommonly dangerous voyage, a well-found ship commanded by a right seaman, a well-liked, deeply respected fighting captain, who, moreover, was soon to hoist his flag. There was no secret about this. Jack Aubrey's unrestrained cries of delight on receipt of the blessed order had not escaped anyone within 20 yards. Nor had the unwonted floods of rum, the feasts in cabin, gunroom, and midshipman's berth. And the sacred blue flag itself, the mark of a rear admiral, lay openly on the forecastle, shaded from too fierce a sun, the sailmaker and his mates, the ship's tailor and his, titivating it with minute stitches, while every hand aboard added half an inch of seam around its ample verge. It was considered the handsomest ensign in the service. But for the moment the flag was absent from Stephen's mind. Before being called to the wretched boy, he'd known at least the general trend of the passages that were to follow the words that lay there before him. But now he was filled with doubt, and to give his wits time to settle and clarify, he mended his pen, clipping its tip with a minute pair of metal jaws made for the purpose. Yet the right, free, easy, candid expressions would not come, though the Christine in question was very dear to him. Stephen had long practised medicine, a calling in which discretion is often of great importance, but for an even longer time, if time is to be measured by stress, he had been an intelligence agent. And here discretion was of the very essence, since an unguarded word might lead to the agent's death, and to the death, the often hideous death, of his friends and the destruction of their cause. He sat down, his expression still blank. He was a lean, middle-sized man, unremarkable, of mixed Catalan and Irish origin, but it was the tropical sun and the sea air that accounted for his dark complexion, not any mixture of Moorish blood, for although his birth was illegitimate, which weighed upon him, his ancestors had been Christians time out of mind. A man of something less than 40, though he looked older as his mind wrestled with the difficulties of giving the intelligent woman he longed to marry a coherent account of the surprise's activities and of her present return, mission accomplished. For as soon as Captain Aubrey joined the South African squadron in the River Plate, going aboard HMS Suffolk, taking command of her and hoisting, or causing to be hoisted, the flag, blue at the mizzen, an act that would turn him into that glorious creature, a rear admiral, the virtual certainty was that Surprise should return to England, carrying Jack Aubrey's official dispatch, 2 young men who were to pass for lieutenant, and a great number of papers and certificates from the boatswain, carpenter, gunner and purser, justifying the expenditure or replacement.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?